Welcome to the Futile Podcast. And tonight, we got Michael and we got Malcolm.
Yes.
And and we're gonna do a little talk about some Japanese anime, manga. I don't know. It doesn't really matter to me. Yeah. So that's what we're gonna do. So how are you guys doing? You guys are new guests to the show.
Absolutely.
Hopefully we'll have you on many times. I mean, that'll all depend on how things go here in the next few minutes.
You might boot us out.
This is your trial by fire. You just finished watching Trigun, which is considered, I think it's probably considered one of the upper echelon anime shows where, you know, in the anime fandom community of people that are reasonable people and not crazy shut-in weirdos that just like to watch shows about, like, 14-year-old girls, like, getting their pants taken off or something,
which is like probably 80%.
Yeah, exactly. I always tell people it's like whenever I start to talk with non-anime people about anime, I always am like, look, it's not a genre. It's more like just a medium.
Yeah, they don't understand that. They think it's Pokemon.
Yeah, they think it's Pokemon, or they think it's tentacle rape.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of that has to do with, like, you know, the earlier stuff that came to the States, and there's, you know, Legend of the Overfiend and Pokemon and stuff.
Right.
But it's really just, like, it's more about just, there's all kinds of styles, there's all kinds of shows, and for my money, what it allows is that the way they structure them is that they kind of generally have a beginning, a middle, and an end.
Mm-hmm.
Which is nice. They're like mini-series. They're like macro-series or something.
Except where some of these series run forever.
Yeah, some of the shonen shows, like Bleach and stuff. Although eventually they do, like, if they're based on like a manga and the manga eventually ends, then they eventually have an ending.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just the fact that it's animated allows them to be a little more crazy and inventive and clever with the spectacle component of it.
Mm-hmm.
Which, I mean, you know, if you go with Aristotle's Poetics and all that, it's like spectacle is the lowest form of drama, but if everything else is done well, then when the spectacle is there, I mean, you got like a good Chris Nolan movie. That's where, in my opinion, like the last couple of Christopher Nolan movies have been that, they're described, you know, as like the perfect blockbusters because they work on all those other levels.
Sure.
I mean, to a degree. I mean, sometimes you can get a nitpick about like how much you care about the Cobb character or whatever else in Inception. But just all those other components that are happening in the story and plot and all that are then elevated by this, like, they work with the spectacle. And so in the good anime shows, they generally do, and they allow them to create their own unique worlds. And there's sometimes sort of a cultural back and forth with, you know, Japan and the United States. And I mean, if you get into the Tezuka stuff and all the Mickey Mouse stuff that happened after World War II, and then that sort of got them going. It basically started the manga industry with the idea of drawing, you know, cartoons and riffing on stuff like that. The Big Eyes and stuff sort of started from Disney.
I didn't know it was that recent.
Well, there's also older stuff it's drawing from too, yeah. But,
well, cartoons in general are
recent. Yeah.
But yeah.
Interesting. So, I figured, you know, Japan, they've been doing everything before us, so.
Yeah. No, but they're also, some of their better shows are clearly inspired and referencing by Western cultural
things. A lot of them, yeah. They love Western culture.
Yeah, I mean, you know, like, the best anime show, Cowboy Bebop, is all about Western culture. Every episode has a name of a song that's like a rock song, and all kinds of stuff. Well, it's objectively considered the best anime. It doesn't have to mean it's your favorite. It might not even be my favorite anymore.
Uh-huh.
But if you look at it from a standpoint of, like, all the stuff we talked about, the Poetics and all that, then I consider it the best.
I've only seen the movie.
Yeah, that doesn't work for you.
I've seen the movie, the first 5 episodes and the last episode.
Well, then you screwed yourself over there. At some point, I might let you guys borrow that show and you watch it. Uh-huh. You watch it properly. You watch it properly. I think you'll like it a lot, Marco, because it's got all kinds of cinematic and filmic references that are just there, and they work. They work in the context of the show. And then you mentioned something like Trigun, which is pure straight up Western, which
double dollars, everything is, and the
swing in the saloon doors and the bleak look. It's very spaghetti Western, but then you've got that sort of duality and the relationship between the spaghetti Westerns, or not necessarily the spaghetti Westerns, but a lot of those Clint Eastwood Man with No Name things, and Yojimbo, and the not Fistful of Dollars, was it? Was it? Was it Fistful of Dollars? Yeah. which are basically the same exact story.
Yeah, I don't know. A lot of those Clint Eastwood movies kind of blend together for me.
Yeah, well, that's the one with the metal plate.
Okay.
The Japanese...
Fistful of Dollars is the one where he has the metal plate.
Yeah, it's and I believe it is a take on Yojimbo. I think Yojimbo was first.
Yes, I think so.
Okay. You know, it's a samurai, and it's an outlaw gunslinger. I mean, those archetypes are so similar in terms of, if you look at, like, the history, having a purpose, then not having a purpose, like, you know, the end of the Civil War, and then what are these guys going to do, the end of the frontier, and what are these guys going to do, and then the changing eras in Japan, and what is this samurai class going to do, and all that kind of stuff.
Well, I think they even, like, the Japanese just find it. Like, I know that Kurosawa, for instance... When he made Seven Samurai, he was thinking of it as a Western when he made it, and then it was remade into
Magnificent Seven.
And he loved Magnificent Seven, I think, more than his own film.
Well, I think he would probably sort of take that stance a lot of times if you could. It's like, oh, this version of it is awesome, too. That's great.
It's half as long.
That probably doesn't hurt. I think I like Kurosawa stuff, but
Kurosawa film that I've seen
have a length to it that can make it a little tough to get around. Good style.
I've seen that. I need to see Throne of Blood, but
I don't know if I've seen that one. I know I've seen like Ron and stuff. I might have seen Throne of Blood.
So it's fantastic.
Yeah,
it's supposed to be good.
So Trigun, based on a manga, right? Mm-hmm. That was the first. Usually, a lot of cases they're first, and then a lot of anime is adaptations. And if the show is following it right, then at least it's being authentic to the adaptation. And sometimes they're doing it at the same time, and the way production schedules work, they invariably diverge. And that isn't always a problem, but I mean, you've read all of the manga that the Trigun anime is based on, right, Michael?
Most of it. I haven't finished it yet.
Okay.
But I've read most of it.
So, I don't know, like, give me a sense of... I haven't read any of the manga, but give me a sense of how it compares to the show in general, I guess.
It's really a good adaptation, I think the show is. It's got a darker element to it. It has a mortality element to Vash that sort of gives it this a sense of doom that the anime doesn't have.
Like greater stakes.
Yeah, you can tell. The idea is that every time he uses his angel arm, his life grows shorter.
Okay.
And that element isn't in the...
We're not mentioned,
He's immortal, it seems like, purely in the anime. So that gives it a different spin, definitely a darker spin. But other than that, I think it's really accurate. And I actually I read a review of both. They did a comparison of the manga versus the anime, and the reviewer even actually thought the anime was better than the manga, because in the manga they can have fights that last, like, an entire manga.
Yeah.
And it gets a little ridiculous. I don't know. It's darker. It has more gung-ho guns in it.
Oh, okay.
There's a transvestite one. You know, you gotta throw one of those in
you
there.
You gotta throw that in.
And there's obviously more room for character development in that space. But, I think it's a really decent adaptation.
Good. That's interesting.
I thought he was immortal. Just from watching the anime, because that's all
I was never sure.
Because he gets, he gets shot to shit and beat up and everything, and obviously you get the sense that obviously this is causing him pain. He feels, physical pain, obviously, and he takes off, there's always these montages of showing the scars on his body.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh wow, he's obviously making some sort of sacrifice because these are affecting his physical body.
And he's, what, 200 years old?
Right. 150 or something.
Yeah, but it's like, it's not like he's going to die.
Yeah, I mean, maybe just sort of do a general rundown. I mean, this show is old enough that I don't have a problem with spoilers on this, obviously. The issue I had with Trigun, and I mean, you know how this works. I'm always sort of the contrarian, so if you're going to argue for how much you love it, I'm not going to argue for how much I dislike it, because I've watched it a handful of times all the way through, and I own it, so I do like it, and I appreciate it a lot. There's a certain... You mentioned things about, like, taking the time to do character that they do in the manga, and maybe a little more darkness, a little more fights, sense of mortality. And the biggest problem I have with, and I'm sure a lot of it is ends up being production issue stuff with the anime, is its first, I was aware of this and used this to introduce the show to my brother. My brother really loves the show, but that first episode of the show I showed him was Diablo. Halfway through, when things finally start to matter, pick up. Because the thing about Trigun is that, I mean, if it were like a 52 episode, like a Full Metal Alchemist type show, where you could do like the first 13 are kind of like, you know, meandering to a degree, and you're getting little character hints here and there, and you're introducing relationships and dealing with themes that are going to come back later, and introducing side characters that will come back and become more important maybe or maybe not, then you can get away with that. But in just 26 episodes to do that and then have a clip show on top of that is like, you really have to sit there and wonder, like, you know, what it does do, and it's kind of an artificial thing, is it does kind of juxtapose the first and second halves of the season or of the show, where you're like, I mean, the first time I watched it was on when it was on Adult Swim.
Right.
I'd watched some fan subs of like the first five or six of them, I think, and was like, okay, where they start to hint at maybe there's something more important going on in the background, you know, like I can't let you, you know, take me in or kill me because I still have to take care of something. And it's like, oh yeah, okay, so there's going to be some, you know, some component to this that's going to need to be dealt with. There's like some greater villain, greater sense of stakes, greater. So I was watching it on Adult Swim, just kind of like, you know, because it was on, it was plowing through. I think Adult Swim hooked me into a lot of shows just because they were on and it was something to watch. And getting into the Fifth Moon episode, which is the first time you see this, the whole angel arm thing, and it goes, I like to say, it gets all Akira-esque, you know, like the end of Akira, where it gets kind of gruesome and biological, and somebody that can't control the
large
thing.
Explosion.
Large explosions and craziness.
Explosion
and
that you can see from space.
It's all kind of gross and weird and uncomfortable.
Goes all anime.
Yeah, it goes all anime. And at the end of that episode, I was like, okay, my brain was like, this is the same show that was been so kind of goofy and dumb in places. Though at the same time, in rewatching it recently, like as I just finished watching it like about the same time you guys did, which is why I figured, hey, let's get together and podcast while it's fresh in our mind. It's hard to write off those first 13. I mean, they don't completely not, because the things that they talk about it's about the people living on the planet, a lot of those episodes. It's about the drunk that made the guns that then, you know, guns are used to kill people, and these guns were used to kill people.
It's setting up Bash too. I mean, you're seeing how he sees this moral objection to killing people.
Yeah.
And it sets that up. He tries to be this happy-go-lucky guy trying to save everyone. Everyone wants to be happy and that kind of thing. It sets him up really well while hinting that there's a darker side to him.
Yeah.
So
yeah, it's kind of like in just a normal film, you'd have like these flashbacks to like, this is what this hardened gunslinger was like back in the salad days. You know,
he's not a hardened gunslinger.
Yeah, he never.
No, not really. But and then just kind of takes the time to develop all that fully. Yeah. So you're kind of like, that's probably like the most challenging thing for me is when I'm watching an anime, because I'm very new to anime. I've only seen a couple, and how they just like span so many. I mean, you say it's not really a genre, but like they span so many different types of. Like, each show really is a standalone, kind of, in the sense that, like, the later episodes are completely different than the early ones. And it was hard for me to, like, because it's kind of like when you're talking about it, you feel like you're in a mood to watch something, and like, oh, I'm going to watch Trigun because it's, you know, it's going to be funny.
It's this way or it's that way,
Yeah, and then they, like, totally switch it on you. You're like, oh, this is a serious episode. Oh, this is going to be a drama. And it's hard for me to, like, because, you know, Western shows aren't like that, really.
And I like that about I mean, like you said, maybe that is the real anime thing that's going on. I mean, I'm not a huge fan of the giant going manga style in most shows. I mean, I think they do that a little too much in a show that's as serious as Trigun. They do the, like, make his face giant, give him a giant, like, noggin on the head.
Turn into, like, a cat face.
Super kind of thing.
Yeah. They do that stuff in that show, a little. Anime, a little too much at the beginning.
Yeah.
And it gives you that sense of, that, like you said, that, well, okay, if you're a game for that kind of show, then you watch that. But then it switches, you're right. And so it does require, I really enjoy, in almost all shows, that the moments when you're, like, into the, like, the real meat of a show, when you're, like, just able to be like, I can't believe we're here now. Like, this is the same show that was this, like, a year ago or whatever. Like, these characters have gone through all of this to arrive here. Yeah. And these interactions and these relationships with this spectacle going on, if it is. And, like, that was, the Fifth Moon was like that to me. It was like, wow. And it really elevated my assessment of the show. Because up till then, it was just kind of like, I was really waiting for the other shoe to drop. Like, when is something that's going to matter going to happen? It's just going to be a series of, like, episodes about where he goes to a different town and the same sort of story about, like, you know, don't kill. Everyone deserves to live. And, you know, they're bad people, but... You know, and gruesome things. Because as much as I'd like to say the first half of the show is really jokey, it's jokey, but in the context of almost every episode, it's got these, like, deadly serious themes. The first episode is the only one that's pretty straight-up jokey, but it's such a sort of clever joke at its heart about, like, the identification of someone and about the nature of, like, of gossip and things, and it really does set up the Vash character and sort of his primary... sort of comedic slash almost dramatic problem in dealing with the people. And that's sort of what's going on in those first few episodes. It's about his relationship to the community of the people there. And then you take him away. You know, you introduce Legato and these other supernatural beings. And there's never a huge amount of explanation. It's anime. You have to really write off a handful of things. Like, what's with the giant guy that can shoot, like, a fist at people? Like, how did that get evolved in this world that's in the middle of nowhere? You just kind of have to be like, I don't know, whatever. You go with it. You have to go with a lot of things in certain places.
And then in order
to do that, you have to still not completely shut off that party. You have to be a little schizophrenic, maybe. You have to be able to, like, look at the stupid stuff and be like, okay, this is just dumb and it doesn't matter. And then, like, when something serious happens, like, oh my gosh, it matters, as opposed to it's all dumb and it all doesn't matter.
Honestly, if I was watching the show solo by myself and just, like, on television as these episodes were coming out, I would have turned it off. I'd be like, it's interesting, but not interesting enough, and I'm just gonna...
But the thing is that because you know it's got an end, because you know it's only 26, it's not like watching a network show, like Heroes or something, where you're like, maybe if they are on long enough and they get their shit together, this will be awesome in, like, the third season, so I'll watch them set that up. And then you see, that doesn't end up happening. Well, you know, or Lost or something, where it's like, there is some setup, but there's a lot of, like, stuff happens. It's just too long. I watched all of Lost.
I did too.
And I could honestly say, if someone came up to me and was like, hey, I'm thinking about watching a good show, I would ask them a handful of questions and get a sense of what their sense was like. And for the most part, I would tell someone, don't bother. That's where I...
So you, so being that you know it's finite and that it's going to go somewhere... And I had the one episode I saw one episode on Adult Swim, and it was one of the later ones. And I really liked that episode. I was like, oh, wow.
It's going to get there at some point.
Yeah, and so when I first watched the first episode, I was like, oh, what is this shit? This is weird. You know? But I knew it would get there eventually.
Yeah.
And so...
Yeah.
It's actually the anime that got me into anime when my friend was... She'd been obsessed with it for years, and so then she had me watch this one. And
this is your friend Nora?
My friend Nora.
She seems pretty cool.
She is.
Isn't she, like, randomly...
No.
Okay, never mind.
I came home on spring break, and she had me watch this, and I was getting into it, I enjoyed it, I liked the characters, but then when it took this sudden turn, and all of a sudden there's this huge moral question that's behind everything, I just, you know, I loved it, and I've honestly not found an anime that matches it.
You like as much about that issue.
Because there's this entertainment value, and then there's this the moral question that underlines the whole thing is so important to the story. I've not found another anime that has that same importance to it.
The spider and the butterfly, basically.
Yeah.
No, and that's
why I love it.
Really good stuff, though. That's what makes it, like, a high-end show, like, where it can get away with doing episodes at the beginning where, I mean, it's not so much... to me, that those episodes... It's more like that could be 5 instead of being, like, 13 episodes.
Right.
It could be that way. And then they could get to some of this other stuff and really play with these themes a little more. But they do play with those themes in those episodes, so it's still acceptable.
That's true.
And the introduction of the preacher character is just so important to the whole flow of the show. The whole guy that's like, no... He's, like, representing what most people watching the show would be, which is, like, you know, look, some people are scum and you just have to take them out.
Yeah.
There's no choice. There's no issue there. And then Vash kind of growing up himself. The only issue I have with, like, the ending on the show in a lot of anime, compared to a lot of anime, it isn't that terrible of an ending. Because a lot of anime is just like, what happened?
Horribly. Okay. Well, who knows? It just ended.
I felt like that way at the end of... the steamship one that you just lent us.
Last Exile?
A little bit. It was, you know...
The guild collapsed and the ship...
It was kind of this overarching sense of utopia and happiness, and all of a sudden the skies kind of turned all sunny and things started growing. You're like, oh,
okay.
It was a fairy tale to a degree, but a lot of the anime that I like, I like it for the journey of it, the watching of it, the story of it. Because usually it is... one continuous story, so it just keeps going, so the character, all the stuff happens and all the stakes are raised and it's structured well. And I'm just talking about good stuff here, so someone could roll their eyes and be like, what about this shit here and this and this? It's like, whatever, man. I'm not talking about that.
It's like, whatever, man.
No, but it's like, I'm not talking about the stuff that's bad. No, you're right, the spider and the butterfly and the nature of good and evil and the way that happens.
Whole, I think... Nicholas D. Wolfwood and Legato are intriguing characters in and of themselves because Nicholas D. Wolfwood is working for the Gun-Ho Guns while at the same time befriending this guy he's supposed to kill eventually.
And he was given such a strange task, too, because I remember in his last episode, it's like you were supposed to sort of keep an eye on him and he was basically told to take care of him, make sure that he was okay. So he wasn't necessarily hired to kill him. He was supposed
to get him to the brother, and the brother would then...
Presumably, yeah.
Or like, Legato's character I always found fascinating because the whole point of Legato is for him to die.
Yeah.
His purpose is to get Vash to kill him.
Yeah.
And that was such an intriguing thing to me, that one character's sole purpose is to get himself killed.
Yeah, and then the nature... And that's where the show is great, because, I mean, you know, the theme of the show is... It has to do with, like, superiority. It has to do with... I mean, it's very murky, even still having seen it so many times. It's definitely got that anime, like, WTF component to it, which is, like, they're plants, so does that mean literally, like photosynthetic?
Photosynthetic plants?
Or are the technical term, like, born from the nuclear age, and they're like some kind of an energy device, which is what I get. You get enough of that in the show to see, like, well, there's some kind of being that's a component to these energy, these sci-fi energy plants that they use to power all their stuff.
They're like the brothers and sisters of the angels inside the light bulb-like things.
Yeah. That was so weird.
Yeah, it's very weird.
And, they, like, barely glance over that.
And that's another problem, is it's like, because if you had shortened that section at the beginning, you could have done maybe like 3 or 4 episodes of them on the ship and stuff, and it wouldn't have felt like, if that's one episode that so much happens in, you're like, I mean, there is that awesome like component of like, what? Now they're in space and they're young and they just jump into it and they don't hold your hand that much and that's awesome. I like that's jarring because then your brain just starts going, what's going on, this is crazy, and I love that feeling in a show of just trying to decipher things.
And that episode's pretty much right in the middle of the show.
It's right after Fifth Moon, so it's a little end of the middle, but it was at a great breaking point too.
I don't know if you guys covered it, but the whole lost technology thing, I was like, I want to hear more about it. Where did stuff come from? How did it get here? And all that stuff. But
yeah, I mean, the show wasn't really about like the dystopia of man falling apart and this stuff. But you're right. Like I said, if they had had more, if they had structured it more, they could have done more with the kids. They could have laid out that spider versus the butterfly theme a little better, and established Knives going crazy or his whole. Yeah. I mean, because instead it's just too quick. I think it's too quick for such a potent idea that's definitely a detriment to the show, because you're constantly going like, this is a major like conflict between these two brothers.
Yeah.
They're really just like, it's based on what? It's based on one of them like getting kind of roughed up by like a bully and the other one being treated nice by the girl. I mean, you get a little bit like
overnight Knives went psychotic and he's like, okay, I'm gonna kill you guys because I'm a superior being and you know, I can think faster and stronger and all this stuff, and just, you guys are useless, I'm going to kill all of you.
So
which
really,
is a huge...
The show should have been longer, is what we're saying.
It could have certainly... I think that it probably would be now.
Right.
Yeah.
Because they're doing a lot of longer shows. They're doing shorter shows and longer shows now, it seems like.
Right.
That's my greatest issue with a lot of manga, or anime that's based on manga, is, like you said, if it's faithfully adapted, it's faithfully adapted. But it has to do with like, the production style. I mean,
well, look at Full Metal Alchemist.
Yeah,
they made the show while the manga's being written, and then the show surpassed the manga, and they're like, "Crap, what do we do? We have to come up with our own storyline now."
Yeah, exactly.
So
and they
it
did.
Diverges.
And now they're double dipping.
Now they're remaking it. Yeah,
and I've got that because I like that show enough. Like, whatever. I mean, I know it's not. It's like sort of a sort of a noob thing to like that show, but I don't really care. I've been watching this stuff since like the 90s. I can go either way. I can talk about Vampire Hunter D just as well as anybody else.
That was a good one.
Well, not the first one. The first one was horrible. But
you like Bloodlust? You know about Bloodlust?
The first one is the one we
They're both Yoshiaki Kawajiri. They're both fun.
I don't know, though. The girl standing there like, oh, I have sex with you.
Yeah. That's typical.
You
that's,
protect me from you.
That's 90s anime, it's though. So, like, they've always got that misogynistic stuff.
It's so awful.
Which is
yeah? Let me rip off my clothes and see if you work for me now.
Yeah. But that's a good segue into something about Trigun, which is that for the most part, you have these female characters that are very anti-stereotype.
Yes.
You know, you have one that's kind of...
I love Meryl.
Kind of small and... but feisty and...
she's me.
And you have another that's kind of this tall, kind of tomboy, and you think you get certain archetypes in him, but then there's complexity there too, and you let that play out. Like, you see that the one that's kind of always angry and bitchy can be kind of gentle and sweet too, and you see the one that seems like she's an airhead is actually kind of knows
really
what's going on, and has like the right attitude about everything, like a survivor's attitude, which is that, like, you put on the best face and you make things happen, and you help make things work, and
there was one point where Meryl was like, oh, we should just give up and go back. I don't know where Vash is. Or he, like, left or something.
Yeah, and then she talks her into keeping going.
He was basically like, you guys can't follow me anymore. It's too dangerous. Blah, blah. I'm going to go do this thing by myself. She's like, oh, Vash is gone. Let's just go back. And she's like, no, are you retarded? You want to never see Vash again?
Yeah.
Let's go.
Yeah, exactly.
Even after, that was after Wolfwood died. And that
she was the one that was really grieving. But
yeah. No, that was just towards the end. That was, like, the third time she actually did that, I think. But, part of my problem with the show is, as like a guy that wants to be telling stories in this fashion, this sort of like long but short, you know, long but concise, like beginning, middle, and end type story. I mean, those are the kinds of stories I like.
Yeah.
If it weren't anime, I would find something else that it would be. That it would be that. I mean, shows that go on forever. I mean, I think I learned that. That was why I really, really dug The X-Files. Because it felt like it was building towards something, but because it was a network show and because it was making money for them, it just went on too long, and that really soured me to that. But that also got me thinking, like, you can't do that.
It depends. There's a lot of good...
There's still good episodes in those later seasons, once it becomes the Dogged Reyes show, it's X-Files The Next Generation.
Okay,
now,
that was Duchovny being a bitch. He's like, I'm going to move to L.A., fuck you guys. And so they had to, you know, substitute him, which was, at first, you know, I didn't like it, but it is kind of like Trigun in that there's, you know, just kind of air episodes about, you know, werewolves or, you know, mutated inbred monsters and things like that, which don't build on the plot, but are super cool and fun to watch.
No, I think those were, like, honestly, those episodes, that show in general was unbelievably solid. Probably the best show on TV back in the day.
Have I lent you that before?
Yeah, you have. And I just, like, I don't know. It's too much right now.
That's right. You denied it.
I think I could work myself into watching it like two or three episodes a night sometime. Each one's an hour, though. But anyway, those first, like, four seasons are just really nothing but good, well-written, like Twilight Zone style. So the standalone ones have, like, a good theme
the
they
ones.
Play with. And the funny ones are funny, and they're able to do that and not feel like they did the one funny episode and the rest of the stuff. It doesn't feel like it's hokey. It works.
Well, a lot of them has different directors.
And there's, you know, a talented group of people that were working on that. But, so I don't know how we got into X-Files. But anyway, because of the anime, the storytelling. So my big thing about, like, so I first see, I forget how I watched the fan subs first. If someone else had found it, and I think it was my friend's girlfriend, so it's definitely a show that maybe appeals to women slightly more than men. Maybe because initially it's more goofy and it has those stronger female characters initially. Yeah. To a male character where, you know, as a dude, just they're being like, well, when is this gonna, when is he gonna get slapped in the face and have to start killing people? That's you know how I'm watching it. You know? I'm like, when is this gonna be awesome? And you know, and then of course it plays out, and the way that it plays out makes it superior to something that, you know, you know, in your gut would have maybe initially had wanted, or at least I would have. But there are little things that I would see, like the first trailer that Adult Swim cut for Trigun had footage from the final episode in it. It had shots of Vash and Knives shooting at each other in that forest. And I thought, okay, I've seen a couple episodes of this show. in the context of, like, a fan sub. I know people are after him. I know there's kind of this bounty hunter component. I'm like, that guy's probably, like, an awesome bounty hunter. Like, I wrote my own story basing on that. Like, I bet that guy that's shooting at him is some kind of awesome kick-ass bounty hunter that's going to make, like in the mid part of the show, that's going to be, like, when he's at some big city where they have forests and where they change the look of the show on some level. You know, like, I just create my own, like, elevated moment, like, in the middle of the show for things to be cool. And then when that doesn't happen, I'm sort of waiting for that. I mean, visually, it's very sparse. That's kind of the point.
Yeah.
And that's kind of tough. Like, you get that one hint of the fact that there's some kind of more built-upon civilization when they show, like, the capital town where the Bernardelli insurance company is, and they have, like, more automobiles and, like, paved streets and streetlights and stuff.
But the most part is just in the desert.
It's just the same desert towns and stuff.
That didn't bother me too much, though. I liked the sparse aesthetic. It was like watching Lawrence of Arabia or something.
Yeah, no, it works.
Specks in the screen.
Visually, like, I don't know, a better, like, you say Lawrence of Arabia, and I think of, you know, David Lean, and I think of these, like, sweeping wide shots and stuff, and it didn't have as much of that. As it has a couple good moments. Like, I remember there's, like, early on in the show, there's an episode where he's, like, walking along, and then he stops and sees, like, stares off into this, like, vast graveyard.
Yeah.
And I'm like, maybe it needed to keep up with having more of that. It's just like you're looking at the show from all these different perspectives, and it becomes something you didn't expect it to be, but you know you're like, no, the themes are still solid and the themes are still played out in a certain way, and I'll still revisit it every now and again just because I want to see what I missed. If I miss, and you know, there are little things you miss here, there, and you catch on a second or third viewing,
fifth or sixth
or however you go. I think I've seen the show. I watch, like, the first parts of a lot of shows a lot of times, and then as I get towards where it's like, okay, now everything's changing, and like you said, the stakes are raising, and you can't go back from this point, it's kind of like, okay, I want to rewatch the beginning again before I get to that point where the show becomes completely different. So I've seen, like, the first halves of a lot more shows than I have all the way through them.
Yeah.
But I've seen Trigon all the way through 2 or 3 times. Yeah, it's a little rushed at the end, and it takes its time a little too much at the beginning, but it still all works.
Yeah.
And it's still all care, you know, you care about the characters and stuff.
Yeah. I knew at some point in the animation there was going to come a time when he does kill somebody, like, finally gets...
You knew that?
Necessity. I knew it had to happen. You can't go the entire series and still keep that attitude.
Yeah.
I mean, logistically, it's not possible. All these people trying to kill you, and, you know, all these very...
But that was the great joke, right? Is that Wolfwood was always there, but then when he wasn't...
But when he wasn't, it's like, okay.
Yeah.
And so when he finally does kill Legatu...
Yeah.
For me, I was like, yes! You finally kill... I mean, even though that's the point of the show,
yeah.
is like, you know, you should avoid doing this, and that was, like, his whole message.
Yeah.
For some reason, I felt a sense of justification.
Even though,
in that moment, Legatu had served his purpose and actually had won.
Yeah.
Because that was his point, is to drive, you know, Vash to kill him so he'd be tormented for the rest of his life.
Yeah, that one scene is probably... Like, there's a handful of other really awesome things that, like, elevate the show and make it really good. But that one scene at the end there, the way that's structured, the way that's shot, like, with the wide and everything. Execution of an unarmed man. Like, when he does finally kill somebody, it's in the most unsatisfying, pathetic sort of...
It's
disgusting
not a fight.
Way. It's not a fight. It's not.
It's a man down on his knees in front of him.
Yeah, and it's just pathetic, and it's very it's not realistic, but it's very realistic. You know, it's like there's no fanfare to it. It's just like, yeah, bang, and then the guy falls, slumps over, and then that's what happens when you shoot somebody in the head, and then they don't exist anymore.
Yeah,
and you just took that away from somebody, and it's it really leaves a pit in your stomach.
Yeah.
And that's why, like, basically, in a weird way, like, that scene and then that follow-up episode are really good, you know, where he deals with all of that. He deals with, like, the fact that he just, you know, did that to somebody. You can't take that back, and you can't go back from that. And he almost has, like, a nervous breakdown.
Yeah.
And he's talking to himself. And
he's, like, screaming and crying.
And then when he comes out of it and he's like, okay, I gotta go deal with this.
Yeah.
And then they use that Zero Hour song. I mean, like, to me, that's what anime does well sometimes, is that they develop us a lot of themes, like any show or any movie, and they, because it's a big part of their industry, I think, is the soundtracks and all that other garbage, that, you know, all the other side merchandising things. Which, you know, if you get somebody that knows what they're doing with the soundtrack, then they do some good stuff.
That's always the main thing that bothers me in most animes that I watch.
You don't like the music?
I mean, sometimes I think, and it probably comes down to a production thing again, where they don't have enough time, money, to create enough soundtracks to like fill out the entire series, and so they end up recycling songs a lot. Yeah. And in Trigun, they have like a couple of songs that they recycle a lot.
Yeah, Trigun is very
and
recycled.
I think sometimes they just kind of, you know, overlay these tracks onto like montages of things that are happening that don't. But some people think that they fit awesomely and work perfectly.
I love the soundtrack.
But for me, I know the soundtrack is good, but the way they use the songs on it, I don't think
matches. I think I get what you mean, yeah.
Or fits. And I don't know, maybe that's just coming from like an editor's point of view or something.
It's a little diluted in some places because they just don't have that many hours of music.
Yeah.
Yeah, they don't have 26 hours or
yeah. Or it would be like the 12 and a half
13,
or something.
Yeah.
Right, so that's something you just have to accept, like, well, whatever. It's,
well, but part of it is thematic stuff, because if you watch a movie, you see that like there's
certain themes,
you know, there's
the
Godfather theme, and that theme is redone and reprised and everything.
Yeah.
And so I think it's not really too much at fault for, you know, for the most part. Trigun does have a handful of songs, and they're cool.
I think because you just don't like the soundtrack as much. Like with Escaflowne, you like that theme, so you don't mind that it keeps playing.
I don't know. For some reason, it seems like in Trigun, he would be remembering these events. And I think there was this one particular montage when he's, like, recounting these memories with Wolfwood.
Mm-hmm.
And it was, like, this, you know, one of the funky jazz tracks or something playing. It just seemed to clash really bad. I don't know what.
No, it's possible.
Maybe it comes
down to personal
taste or whatever.
No, but you're right. Sometimes it does that. The show's definitely got, like, a... It's got the guitar rocking thing, and then
guitar blues.
It's like high on guitar, a little bit of jazziness,
It's a mixture of things. I think what it is, for me, is that it's a very anime soundtrack. It's a mixture, it's a hodgepodge of sounds. Whereas, like, with Escaflowne, that's a very cinema soundtrack.
Right. Maybe that's very typical.
It's, you know, Gregorian chant and very, you know.
Well, it's epic.
It's awesome.
It's epic.
What it is.
No, Yoko Kanno can do a soundtrack. I mean.
She's like the go-to girl, but, you know, it's a very filmic soundtrack for that anime. That's what you're used to.
That's probably my biggest struggle. It's coming from, like, a film background, like, this is how it's supposed to be.
You're
going to
love Cowboy Bebop, man.
And then, like, coming to this, it's like, I'm happy.
That's why I'm waiting. I'm giving you that one last. Because if you watch it first, you're just going to be like, you know what? Anything else I give you, but you don't realize it wasn't that one that's the best, so I kind of don't care. That's how I got into anime, is like basically, or got reintroduced myself into, is like, there's this one show and it's really good. Maybe there's more like that, and I'm just constantly hunting to find something as good as that. And I find stuff that's different and just as enjoyable.
See, that's
and
that's me with Trigun.
That's the truth. Yeah, exactly. But so to get to the soundtrack thing, one thing that they do, you're right, they recycle a lot of stuff and things, and even if it's good, it's good. You know, like Escaflowne has that they use a lot of things, a bunch, which are always really cool. I like the Escaflowne. I think the soundtrack elevates the material beyond the level of the material and the visual style and the creativity of the design. I like the steampunk
stuff. The storyline is
soap opera, basically. Yeah. It's a high school girl that can see the future, and she's got these, you know, three guys that she's in love with, you know.
But then
you've got the soundtrack. Let's go.
You've got giant fighting and you know, you got airships and all that fun stuff. And then the soap opera thing does kind of get further convoluted, which makes it more complex. Which then it gets to deal with kingdoms and interrelationships between other people that gets beyond that, and it doesn't do too much with the like jealousy component. There's a little bit of
but
it doesn't become too, like you said, high school about like, oh, there's not like this like sort of throwaway episode where maybe there's a little. I mean, I don't really love that show, but that show is a show that I'm like, you know what,
I don't
hate it
so
either
far.
It's fun,
but I like 90s anime.
Yeah, that helps too.
We've talked about this before.
Yeah, no, and we can talk about it again. We've never talked about it on the podcast.
That's true.
We got many podcasts here with the material. But to get back to Trigun and the soundtrack stuff, 0 hour is never used in that show until the end of the second to last episode, and it is 100% awesome. It is 100% awesome, because it's like, wake up, the sun rises, he's going to clean himself up, he's going to shave, he just is like, he's like in badass mode, because now he's decided, he's resolute in what he's going to do, and you don't necessarily know what that is yet, but you just like, you see like him look at the gun, and you hear like his brother's voice, you know, like, I made this one's yours,
this one's,
you know,
for you. And
it's like, this is cool, like, and you're like, this, but it also informs you, like, that this is, we're at the end now, like, we don't have to recycle stuff anymore, because this is almost over. They do that with a lot of shows. They even did that with, like, Last Exile. They started introducing music that they hadn't introduced in, like, the first half and in the second half and stuff, and environments, too, a lot of times. That's what I like about anime, is, like, all of a sudden you're like, oh, hey, like, I don't think you ever see the beach in Last Exile till the very end. maybe you don't even ever see it.
Yeah.
But I think there is a little scene where there's, like, at the very end of the show where they're, like, they show the oceans and stuff.
Yeah, it's a nice reprieve.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it's like, well, that's cool to at least see something different at the end. I mean, as opposed to just kind of doing the same thing all the way through. So, yeah, and then that final episode is kind of, it's kind of cool because, like, it answers all your questions within some level. At least it answers the Vash Knives interaction questions, you know? Like, you see them go through. And just the time, I don't know, it's interesting. I'm almost more interested in those things, like, what happened in that entire year that Vash was sitting in that ship while Knives was off making those guns? And what happened all those times? Like, did Knives have to go interact with the people while he was doing that and, like, just kind of abide them to get what he needed to learn things and to deal with stuff? And all those times, all those, you know, years that have gone by while they're traveling together, are they just walking around? How are they eating? What are they doing? There's a lot of questions there, and you can, I guess, do your own work to fill it in, and maybe that makes it seem more cool. Mm-hmm. A lot of people love that. Like, you know, I love it when not every question is answered, you know, and there's that to it. But then the juxtapose of, like, oh, brother, how you doing, you know?
Yeah.
It's like, oh, no, everything was okay. Mm-hmm. And then there's, like, there's trees and stuff. But they had that one episode earlier with the trees.
Yeah.
I don't know. I love the last episode, actually. I think it's nice because it's this... They're doing the exact same things. They're fighting.
Yeah.
You know, they're equal, but they're completely opposite. They're the yin and the yang, and they do that a lot.
The visual thing.
The dark and the light, and, you know, Knives saying, you're a superior being. Vash, I disagree. Yeah. You know, this whole, like...
Yeah.
I don't know. I like the play of it.
No, and the fighting was cool. I mean, it was exciting. It wasn't, like, crazy overdone choreography or anything, but just, like, the interaction. They got the guns, and then they're both sweating.
They're both sweating, you know?
They're both, like, nervous. They both don't know how this is going to play out. Mm-hmm. And
they shoot each other in the same spots.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. in the anime or just general cinema throwaway shoot spots, you know, like right on the shoulder.
Yeah, shoulders, the legs. Like, so Knives doesn't die. We don't know what happens to Knives. Yeah. But
well, yeah, we don't. I mean, if you watch through the credits... Because most anime is usually pretty good about some kind of secret ending.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'll let you borrow a... Outlaw Star, it's got, like, two secret endings. it's kind of like one of those extra be extra paranoid, because it's, like, got, like, a little, like, you think it's over, and then it does a little thing.
Oh, yeah.
And then it runs all the credits, and then it does another thing. So that's the true secret ending, is runs the credits, and then it does something. And Trigun, I mean, maybe their budget was just shot at that point, man. Mm-hmm. They just have stills
playing
during the credits that show him carrying his brother back, and he's, like, smiling at him. It's kind of a shitty way to end the show, in my opinion, because it's just, like, a big shit-eating grin with, like, his brother slumped over his shoulder. You know he didn't die. You know he's just going to, like, nurse him back to health and try to sort of get him to, like, get with the program and understand. Right. There's still conflict there, though, you know?
Yeah. Right.
And so, it is. It's the right way to have ended that show.
Uh-huh.
The execution, it would have been nice. I mean, it's almost like it would be nice if they could redo that show. They could probably do that show in a 13-episode, 16-episode style. Like, I mean, you really could... concise, or like you said, they could do like a 52 episode fuller version of it. If they were gonna do that, though, I would need more environment stuff. I would need more variety of location for them to be in, because then you can play on different genres.
You could definitely do a lot more of
you could do like a noirish episode if they were in more of a city, you know what I mean? As opposed to just constantly being kind of the western bleak color palette.
Yeah.
But this can kind of lead us into other materials that are Trigun related that you've read and are aware of. You've been... There's the other manga, right? Mm-hmm. Maximum?
The first... is just Trigun, and that's just two volumes, and then they're about, I don't know, 10 volumes of Trigun Maximum. And that's basically, the anime is both Trigun and Trigun Maximum.
Oh, okay.
Basically, Trigun is before he shoots the hole in the moon.
Mm-hmm.
Trigun Maximum is after.
Okay.
So, but there are different environments. Like I said, there's this transvestite gung-ho gun, and she's mainly in the big city.
Okay.
And, you know, is really fancy and ritzy and everything. And, like, there's, yeah, there, I don't know, it's... You spend more time with Knives in his little...
You spend any time with Knives. You don't get any in Trigun.
Yeah, basically, you don't get any in the anime. Mm-hmm. You spend time with him after he comes out of the little thing he is,
the gestation tube. Yeah.
Yeah, and he comes out, he's got this long hair. Basically, when he comes out, he kills Legato. And so...
Knives kills Legato?
Yeah. He kills Legato and he puts him back together or something.
Okay,
like that.
Weird.
It's weird, yeah. But you spend more time in the space with Knives and that kind of thing, or in the city with this transvestite gun-o-gun, or
Was he Knives is supposed to be in space this whole time?
I think so, yeah. He's in some kind of little space pod thing.
Oh, interesting. Well, I know. I could never tell. It just always seemed like it was a dark kind of fortressy area. Mm-hmm. Like yeah. He had built that over the years from chunks of crashed ships or something. In the anime, that's how it seems, at least.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then there's, of course, the like what happened with the first guy. The first gung-ho gun in Diablo, he's like, you know, stuck somewhere exercising his whole life. Because,
right. You don't get why he's doing that.
Yeah, you don't really get a lot of that. I mean, and so that's just short-form work, or that's just the nature of the way they're telling the stories. Yeah. And so it's fine. So you haven't finished it yet because the last volume isn't out yet? Or how is that?
I just... I stopped being able to afford to buy anime.
Yeah.
Or the manga, you know, you have to buy it, like, for reading. I have up to I think I've read through the 5th or 6th volume, so I still have a few more volumes left.
And it does have a conclusion, as far as you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
As far as I know.
Interesting.
So, but like I said, in this one, he's dying every time he uses the Rage Alarm.
Mm-hmm.
And he uses it a bunch then? Because he in the show, he only uses it
3 times?
He uses it in July.
Mm-hmm.
He uses it in wherever, do the 5th moon, and then he uses it again at the end.
Mm-hmm. He doesn't use it a lot, but
he's
just
aware
when,
of it.
When
it
you use it. Basically, they do it like, you know, he's got his blonde hair that sticks up, and your hair, like, gets darker as you're getting closer to death. So you can see his progression from using, like, when he blasted the hole. Like, in the first couple manga, he doesn't have any dark. And then he blasts the hole in the moon, and then in Maximum, he comes back, and he's got this dark streak underneath. And you think it's because, you know, he had his hair down, so, you know, I logically thought, well, you know, gets dark under there. But then you find out that he's dying every time he uses. Like, same thing happens with Knives. Knives has been using his Angel Arm more, so he's aged more than Vash.
Hmm.
So I'm assuming they might even die at the end.
So not immortal, necessarily.
Mm-hmm. So you don't have to use the Angel Arm a lot every time.
Yeah.
It just
takes a lot out of you.
She had to point out that there were like actually little like feet coming off of the Angel Arm.
Yeah,
like at the very end episode.
I don't know. I saw the feathers and stuff.
Yeah,
it gets
got little legs.
All these
everything.
Like
yeah.
They're apparently like these separate beings or something.
They're like the creatures in the bulb.
Yeah,
you
like growing out of their bodies, basically. Like in the very last episode, you see it's got like little feet coming off the back end of it. It's like, what?
Yeah, I think, I mean, I almost wonder, I mean, it's one of those cases where, I mean, marketing-wise, there's always this sort of back and forth. It's like, well, we want to sell the manga, and that's why we're making the anime. And the manga sells, so we're going to make an anime.
It might be a cultural thing. Like, when it's being made, are they assuming that they are absolutely going to read
the
manga
read
before they
read
the anime? And then in America, maybe it's like, well, the mangas aren't as popular as the anime shows, I'm guessing.
It depends. I think this show is old enough that a lot of their assessment of U.S. consumption was probably not as big as it is now, where I mean, there's essentially a lot of anime that's probably made now, maybe, I wouldn't say exclusively, but heavily for U.S. audiences. I mean, there's things like Stan Lee financing it. There's an Iron Man anime, you know?
Well, look at Big O. They made the second season of Big O strictly for American audiences.
I don't know if they made it for them, but the Cartoon Network co-produced it, so they financed it.
It was so popular in America that they decided to make a second season.
Well, I wonder if it was actually popular. Because here's the thing, with Cartoon Network and with Adult Swim, this was back when they were really, really pushing the stuff, and I think it was a real great blow to them, the fact that when they financed the second season of Big O, and that was the same time I think they were maybe financing that racing show, IGPX and stuff too, that was Toonami, one was Adult Swim, and before they had become a separate entity, you know, Adult Swim's now like technically like different than Cartoon Network something.
Network,
there's something that they did. It was just not, I remember when it was on, I watched it, I loved it, but it was not structured right because they didn't have Saturdays anymore. When they first started Adult Swim, it was like Thursdays and Sundays were the comedy. Or actually, when they really, really first started it, it was like they had one block of just like some of their own weird produced comedy stuff. And like Cowboy Bebop at the end. Like, and there's also this. I've always been of the opinion that the Cartoon Network should have all kinds of animation on it because it's the goddamn Cartoon Network.
Yeah.
Heaven forbid, like when I was a little kid, like watching Voltron and stuff, I'm like, that I was, you know, sort of aware, and then, you know, watching the Sci-Fi Channel when they were big with anime for a while in the 90s, sort of aware, like, well, there's all these cool cartoons that are like cool cartoons, you know, mm-hmm. like you grow up as a kid and you're like, you're watching certain cartoons, and then, you know, you like your action cartoons, and then you see things that are done on a higher level.
Mm-hmm.
So they at some point had built this block where they just had like nothing but anime on Saturdays. And I think a lot of old men like me, like they were watching this stuff in college, that only kind of watched it on a passing thing, really like over nostalgify it because like it had a certain mm-hmm. feel. Like yeah. that was when we discovered Cowboy Bebop would be like watching like an episode, like a random episode on a Saturday night and be like, yes, like that's like what I do myself now is I'm like, yes, Saturday nights are when you watch cartoons. Like this kind of cartoon, mm-hmm. you know, this is when like you're an old man now, you don't watch the cartoons that you used to watch mm-hmm. when you were a little kid on weekday afternoons, but now you watch, you know, you watch your cartoons late and they're a little more crazy and they deal with big themes about life and death and giant robots and stuff. Adult Swim had that Saturday and then they went to weekdays.
Yeah.
And they started to try to combine the anime at the second later half of it was like comedy and then anime. And yeah. for a while, they really struggled with that. I mean, they had certain shows like the soap opera show, like Inuyasha and stuff, mm-hmm. that had a big consistent following for a while that allowed them to do that. And then they were even premiering anime shows on weekdays. They did that with Witch Hunter Robin. That was the only yeah. show they did that with, mm-hmm. which kind of worked for that show. But then that's also so late. It's like, why, you know, then they finally were like, you know what, we're going to bring Saturday back. And they brought Saturday back proper, but all they had to offer as new shows was just new Inuyasha's and Wolf's Rain. Wolf's Rain is a show I like more than I should. I think a lot of that has to do with
so depressing.
A lot of that has to do but it works.
Yeah.
It is really depressing. It's really bleak. The ending is a huge like what? I don't understand.
What?
I kind of get it, but I don't get the actual like stuff that happens in the last 30 seconds. Make sense to me.
Yeah, it's like, what?
Yes.
Sounds like something I should watch.
No.
Well, it's got Yoko Kanno music. Yeah, yeah, it's got good soundtrack. It's got good style. It's really well animated. It's Bones.
It's
Bones does
it's
all
Bones.
Good animation, yeah.
Honestly, that's like one of the hugest draws for anime for me.
Yeah.
Like, well, this is probably like a terrible thing to say, but like the story for me is always like,
secondary.
Well, no, because like if an anime, that's just true though. Like,
yeah,
that's just true.
It has to be a good animation. In order to look good.
Unless it's a really good story, you know, it's like South Park level of like whatever it's doing, you know, like Shin Chan. If it's funny, it doesn't matter that it's crappy.
Yeah, that's the only reason I really got into anime is I saw like, I don't know, maybe like the first anime thing I saw, maybe like Totoro, I think.
Totoro.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, if you're talking about Miyazaki stuff, yeah.
Right, and I was like, oh my god, this is way different than any other cartoon I've ever seen and looks awesome. They've got a grasp on textures and lighting that Western culture doesn't.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what drew me first.
Well, for animation, you mean?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think so.
Well, but you look at like Fantasia from the 30s.
Well, modern.
Okay.
We're talking about
good old Disney stuff.
Yeah, exactly. And that's what they're sort of referencing.
Just like a different
like
quality to
Miyazaki
it.
Is like,
and that's why I like
released
stuff,
by Disney.
Yeah, that's why I like stuff that's older, because I don't know if you want to talk about this now, but you know, there's less shortcuts they could take, and so it's better quality animation.
No, you're right. They had to do it a certain way. Mm-hmm. Another thing is it has to do with the economic bubble in Japan in mm-hmm. the 90s. They were able to, they had the money to do what were these original animated video style
mm-hmm.
things, which is what like Macross Plus is.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
You know, it's just each episode was like released individually. Mm-hmm. Super expensive on Laserdisc. Like, these things cost a lot of money. People had to really love them at the time. We don't get how fortunate we are now to be fans of this stuff, and you can just like, you know, pick up a dollar bin style for a lot
right.
of stuff on Amazon for $10 or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, instead of paying like $50 for a Laserdisc with one 22-minute episode or something. it doesn't have like a US dub, so
mm-hmm.
you're just reading the subs, or maybe you're just watching a raw and just interpreting what they're saying.
I think this is happening.
Yeah, but yeah, no, I'm absolutely there with you. I mean, it's like and there's a handful of those that are where everything comes together, and it's just like the story is also awesome, and the
mm-hmm.
visual style, you know, like Akira is like that, and the Pat Labor stuff. I should let you borrow the Pat Labor movies, the first two Pat Labor movies. Mamoru Oshii did those. He's the guy
mm-hmm.
that did Ghost in the Shell. This is what he did before. Just to kind of close up Trigun, and then they're doing another movie, right? The guy.
That's been rumored for years.
And, yeah, I mean, the question is just, are they going to do the whole show as a movie and just try to cram all that stuff into
That'd
it?
Be dumb.
Or are they going to do sort of like a continuation? I don't think that a continuation would work. I think a readaptation maybe would be nice, but not in the context of a movie, because
it
that's just
be
too
hard
short.
To do it. Yeah. I don't think the only thing they could possibly do would be something like they did with Cowboy Bebop, where you have an insert. It's a 2-hour episode.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that only...
Which kind of sucks anyway, but...
Yeah, it does kind of suck.
Because they can't retell the whole thing in 2 hours, though no. They would try.
Yeah.
In a continuation.
It would be a lot of, like, what are you going to do? How are you going to rehash? I mean,
It would be like another face-off with knives and...
It would be, but it would be have to be, like, a more final face-off.
Right. Would have to die or something. Or, would have to
yeah, happen. Something would have to be negotiated.
Mm-hmm. But it's, yeah, I don't know.
Or you set it in, you know, 300 years from the future and see how things have been going, and maybe you switch things up.
Yeah.
I mean, I can start writing the story right now, you know? It's 300 years in the future, and now the world looks completely different because they found water, and they've developed cities, and there's hover cars, and now Knives is more mellowed out, and Vash has been the one that's gotten stressed because...
It's going to be like these Star Wars spin-offs where Luke Skywalker basically becomes the next Dark Lord.
Yeah, something like that, exactly. Yeah. Who knows? But, yeah, so we'll be curious to see what happens with that, but that's a... Yeah, Trigun is definitely a high-end show for me. I have this sort of, like, you can tell from the way I've talked about it, kind of this I wouldn't say love-hate, but it's just... It's not the kind of show that, like, I watch in the late part of my Saturday night, which is reserved for, like, the absolute, like, just a certain style, all, you know, of fun and away. But it's a show I definitely would watch. And, the later episodes to me are the more enjoyable ones because they do get more into that thematic materials. More densely, and they just have some more great interactions with the
characters. Even the way that he picked Vash in some of the episodes, the more comical ones, just his appearance and his body language, and like he's got like these really long, lanky, skinny arms that are just like these little like toothpicks hanging down from his body, kind of dangling around.
Yeah,
in this kind of comical fashion. Then the later episodes, when you see him like actually with all the scars and stuff, he's like all ripped and muscular and you know and thick. And, like, this huge guy.
It's, like, the lanky design for a lot of the anime main heroes.
And Mishiro Naito, you want to talk about?
Yeah. He's not the director of the show. He's the writer of the manga and the writer of the show.
He did the character design and wrote it.
Okay.
I believe.
And then he also wrote Gungrave, based on the PS2 game or whatever.
Yeah.
Which would make it seem really stupid. But it's really good. For the most part. I mean, I remember getting scared when I was watching it. I introduced it to my brother. I'm just like, I don't know, this is going to... It's towards the end, you start thinking it's going to just go back to this stupid zombie, weird video game stuff. And he's like, it does do some of that, but then he's like, but no, they know what they're doing, and they bring it back at the end. And they do. They really... And that's another one of those... It's got similar themes to Try. We're talking about Gungrave now, the creator's follow-up.
Gungrave.
Similar themes to Trigun about, like, death and life and stuff, but it's more definitely about that idea of friendship. It's about the connection of who do you serve, who do you protect, and how do you go about doing that, and who do you trust, and who are your friends. And
I don't remember what his friend's name was.
Harry McDowell, Bloody Harry.
Yeah, and how they're basically best friends. Like, you know, Vash and Knives, and they definitely have a split where he's like, I'm going to be an evil mob boss.
It's much more complex than Trigun, I think.
That's true.
Trigun is the brother thing, and then they kind of just never get along.
There's like a black and white split.
Yeah, that's true.
Whereas, you know...
In Gungrave, they've got that they're both...
He's still working
orphans.
For the mob.
Yeah.
Right. So he's in the gray.
Brandon. Yeah.
They're both orphans, and they're both and they're friends, and they're actually friends, and so it's really a meaningful thing. And they kind of hint more at that towards the end to really make it more potent. And the things that they both go through to help each other in those earlier episodes, like, it's just structured in such an interesting way. You get that one episode that introduces all this crazy stuff, and then it goes to flashback mode, and I'm like, is it going to be that way for 4 episodes?
Right.
And then cut back to, you know, the crazy stuff, and it just keeps going that way. And you're like...
Not until it keeps it until the end.
It's hard to remember a lot of that show.
Yes,
I remember at one point he's gonna kill Harry. They're in the elevator.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he knows that he like backstabbed him or something, or has been embezzling or something, and so the rule is that he has to kill him or something like that, right? And there's I don't think that particular series is a particularly beautiful animation necessarily. Mm-hmm. You know, it's pretty straightforward and it's okay, but there's that one scene in the elevator.
Oh,
where
the
light shaft is coming
shaft.
In, and Harry is standing in the dark, and he's over there in the light, and the gun is right in the middle of the room.
Mm-hmm.
That scene is pretty good.
Yeah, the whole elevator scene is really good.
Yeah.
And they also switch it up on you, where they put the opening title. They do the same thing they do with Trigun, with the title sequences. It's almost like a Woody Allen thing, where, like, they just have... black with the same with white font that's like the same font as Trigun that just says this. Mm-hmm. So it's, I mean, maybe that creator has got that much influence. I mean, cause if he's not the one that's directing all these shows and stuff too, maybe he's somehow parlaying that much influence to have that kind of continuity and a vision to the shows.
Well, they wanted it to be, they got the same person to do the soundtrack.
It was a similar soundtrack for sure.
I think they wanted it.
Yeah, a lot of people talk about the Thomases that are in Trigun, the little weird horse creatures, are actually shown in an episode of Gungrave.
Really?
They're betting on them.
Oh, okay.
That, when he first goes to his first mob job, to be like a loan shark enforcer, they're betting on those. So people have it in their head that it's the same planet, you know, it was called Gunsmoke or whatever in Trigun, that it's like, well, if they'd found water and blah, 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 then maybe this is like 300 years in the future. They do mention the Middle East or something in it, but it's never really spelled out that it doesn't seem, it seems like it could be, to be honest, because it's all very arid, except for a few areas.
It's just an urban setting.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, you get a little bit with like volcano on the other side of the mountain and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. The other crime organization, but then the interaction between the characters, I think, in Gungrave, with how, because it's like the Godfather or something.
Yeah.
It's like, how does anyone climb any ladder in any organization, be it crime or be it anything? You know, you're a grip and you want to be directing movies. You want to have that Spielberg like power. You know, gotta do certain things. And the friendship angle, you're right, is good. And the whole, like, you know, the code of iron and. Who do you take out and who do you not? And and the nature of the way the character is trying to protect everyone. Yeah. He doesn't
and Harry's
want to
not
offend
totally
anyone.
Evil. There's,
oh, not at all.
He wants Brandon to rise in power with him.
Yeah, he's part of his team.
Yeah,
he needs him.
And it doesn't work out. And there's one episode where Harry's like in some alley or something after a meeting or whatever, and he sees like this little kid getting like beat up by this chef, like it's in the, you know, the alley or whatever. And he's like, hey, and he has a flashback to his own childhood or whatever, and he's like, hey, what are you doing? And basically he blows the guy away.
Yeah.
And then the kid like starts crying
it's
and stuff.
Dad.
And it's his dad. And he's like, I thought this is what you wanted to be. And he breaks down, you know. And so it like somehow in his like demented sense of right and wrong and justification and vengeance, he tries to do something good for this kid, and hopefully he won't have the same life that he did, apparently.
Yeah,
or
but,
something.
But it's so it's this brutality thing, but the little mantra he has about the freedom to do what he wants, to take what he wants, and give what he wants, and all of that, and you know, high enough, and they literally build the tower bigger when he takes over. It's about ambition and everything, and then it just throws in all that cool like zombie stuff, which is fun and works. I really love the mafia wars stuff where, you know, he just pulls up, he's like, you know, and that one whole episode is like nothing but like a gunfight in a warehouse, like, and it works. He's like, he just pulls up and says, in a few minutes I'm going to turn this whole place into a battlefield, and then just gunshots, and then you're like, okay, that's the end of that episode. I'm going to go to the next episode, and there's going to be like, what, they're going to like hint at it again, or they're going to Dragon Ball Z drag this out? No, the entire episode is just what it said it was going to be, a big old gunfight in a warehouse. And it works, and it's back when they were all together. And so you're right, the Harry McDowell character is extremely complex, because you see him almost sacrifice himself in that first episode for one of their idiot stick friends that like hawked that piece of jewelry, you know, and like they're all in it together. And Harry is like doing most of the work that he protects all of those guys in those first episodes, because you know, Brendan, you know, is a tough guy, but he's not really like, you know, he's not with it enough to be a leader to really help elevate them out of their situation, or
he doesn't talk enough.
Yeah, get them to do anything. But yeah, it's just really well structured. You could say it's formulaic, and to a degree it is, but it's also, but that doesn't make it less interesting and less powerful, and you know, less good. I'm just curious what that guy's going to do next. I mean, because it's like those two shows are both really good shows, in my opinion.
Yeah, well, he hasn't done anything since.
No, it's kind of like the Cowboy Bebop director. But yeah, so it's always good shows and kind of pretty good conversation, I think. We're about done. I always like to close this with just reminding people that we've got an email here. You can email us at thefutilepodcast@gmail.com. You can go to the blog. You can Google Futile Podcast, like we come up with it on all of the internet when you Google Futile Podcast. Like, we come up. How about that, right? Exactly. Who knows what I'm doing? So hopefully we can talk some more about some other shows, I think.
did like the animation for Wolf's Rain, but it's so depressing.
Depressing? No.
They all die.
They all die?
They all die.
I probably wouldn't mind that.
They all... No, the world. Everyone in the world dies.
I'm gonna watch it.
Everyone in the world dies.
It's probably a good show.
It's okay. It's just post-apocalyptic kind of stuff where these guys turn into wolves and then turn into men again. They're like, wolves man.
No,
I want to be a man. I want to be a wolf. You know?
I feel that often.
And then, you know, it's got Vash, the guy that does voice for Vash in it. Mm. And Crispin Freeman.
He was the guy that you liked in, I know who you're talking about. It was the guy that was in, he was, like, a character briefly in Last Exile.
He wasn't a character briefly. He was, the captain in Last Exile.
He's Alex Rowe?
He was Alex Rowe.
Oh, okay. All right.
That guy.